and welcome to the Garage Series for IT Pros, where we answer the toughest questions about the new office. My name's Jeremy Chapman.
And I'm Yoni Kirsch. Last week, we covered a whole bunch of stuff around configuring the new office and deploying it. We spoke about the XML file. We spoke about the office deployment tool.
Yeah, we talked about all these major things that you're going to be doing with Click to Run, and all that other stuff around MSI is still basically the same as you had back since 2007.
Right. We also did some really cool stuff on our Extreme Install segment. We did some high G aerobatics.
Wow, that was truly amazing, where you're upside down on the planet. I mean, I'm surprised that you made it out of that okay.
I'm still here.
Well, really? This week, we're going to go quite a bit deeper in terms of the questions that you have and how we can actually answer those for how to deploy Office with Click to Run.
We've got a few workarounds for some fairly kind of challenging situations as well.
How do we handle languages, right? All those things that you're going to be doing there. And we're going to talk with some of the experts, people behind the tools like Paul Barr from the engineering team in Office. But before we get started, let's go to today's trivia question.
How do I change languages when installing with Click to Run? Is it A, separate configuration XML per language, B, installing language packs post-install, or C, match operating system language?
Stay tuned for the answer at the end of the show.
So Jeremy, we've spoken about the Office deployment tool. We understand how to install and remove Office suites from a PC. But what about individual components?
Yeah, so I get this question all the time, and basically customers ask me, how do I selectively not install certain components?
So right? Like previously you would have used the Office customization tool, you could have gone in there and said, okay, I don't want Access to be installed.
Sure, and if you're doing a manual install, you can go through and at the beginning of setup, deselect various items.
Right.
One of the differences that we have in the Click to Run world is we've got basically SKU level installs. That means that we've got to take the entire set of Office apps in the suite. So there's not a real elegant way to not have those applications install.
Right, so what that actually means from a SKU level that we can decide that we want to install Office 365 Pro Plus and say Visio, but not Project?
Right, so if you think about it, so the SKUs, they are, you know, the Pro Plus suite, and then I've got Project, Visio. I can do individual apps too, and the Office deployment tool works on all those, as well as, you know, even some of the retail SKUs. But there's no way to say, do not install things like InfoPath or Access.
Right.
Not to pick on those in particular, but those are the ones that a lot of customers ask about.
Right, exactly. So do you have any ideas about something that we could do to help the customers to remove those from their installations?
Right, so I think in most cases we have, you know, the SKU level install is probably okay, and there are ways to kind of block access to the applications for end users. So
rather than actually not installing them in the first place, we're just obfuscating them now?
Pretty much. So we can do that. We've got a couple of options though. We can take something that we have on the Windows side called App Locker. It's part of group policy,
right,
and block those executables from running. We just have to point to the executable file and that will prevent it from loading.
Right, okay. Should we take a look?
Let me show you a demo of what that looks like. And this is really a quick demo because I'm just going to show what the blocked output of that is.
Right, okay.
So here's my group policy editor. I've pointed it to deny in program files msaccess.exe. A little bit different path where that is these days. It's in Office 15 root. Now I'm going to try to launch Access from the start menu. Now I could have gotten rid of that link completely, but when I go to launch it, nothing happens. So I see the link, but nothing happened. You know, obviously if I'm in the IT world, I'm going to want to get rid of that link altogether, right?
Right. Hang on a second, but isn't App Locker something that's only available in the enterprise SKU of Windows?
That's right. So you do have to have the enterprise SKU of Windows in order to use App Locker, but there is another way. You know, I came from a Windows application compatibility background doing imaging and all the app compat work in the past.
Right. Me There's too. I think I know where you're going with this, man.
There's another way. It can be less elegant, actually, than App Locker, and we're gonna block it using shim database for an SDB file with
You're
the
not.
Compatibility administrator tool. So let me show you a demo of what that looks like. So
right,
I've got
go
my compatibility administrator tool, 32-bit.
Right.
I'm going to go ahead and create a shim database file.
Right.
Now I've got my ability to click on new database. I'm going to go ahead and create a new block essentially here, and we're going to use an app help message.
Yep.
And we're going to label the app, InfoPath in this case, the vendor, which is Microsoft here, point to the application location for InfoPath XML. Now we're going to display a message and not allow the application to run. Now this is what Windows does natively.
Hang on, back up. What does the message say?
That's part of the fun of this one, right?
Right.
Right. So I go to launch my application, go to InfoPath Designer, and it says this program has
compatibility.
It says it's got compatibility issues.
In this case, we're running on which operating system?
But Windows 8 in this case.
Right.
But that's not something that we're going to use all the time. So I'm just saying there is a way to block it. If you actually want to systematically and programmatically block it, probably the better way is just to get rid of the paths into it, right? So the user can't see it. I think in most cases,
delete the shortcuts
is probably the better way,
yeah.
Right? So I can obfuscate it from the view of the user and make it so it's a lot harder to find. But, you know, and if you want to have it programmatically blocked, AppLocker is by far the most elegant. SDB files can be done as well. There is one other way to block apps that's a bit more legit in terms of keeping the applications from installing, actually. I can use AppV version 5 and deploy that, and that actually does have the ability to kind of selectively choose which parts of the suite you want to install. So
that sounds a little bit more elegant from an enterprise standpoint.
Definitely.
You've got SCCM, full integration with AppV.
Sure. So the other goodness there is that we're not actually setting up default file associations. The system doesn't know that the application's installed, so it behaves just like the MSI would, as if it wasn't installed.
You can't get in there and hit the executable and double-click it in the first place.
Sure, and that's because it's not there. Even if you open a file, let's say you're doing access and you hit an MDB file, it won't launch because none of the associations have been made.
I will let you have that one. But moving on, let's talk for a minute about languages.
Right, so languages are something else we can manage, and this is a little bit more in line with, you know, good management practices. So what we can do with languages, and you showed that earlier a bit on the Office deployment tool in an earlier episode, What we can do, we can, like MUI packs or multilingual user interface packs, we can basically define which version of language we want to install or which specific language we want to install at install time using the configuration XML.
Right, and the thing that makes it even more easy to use is that unlike the MUI packs, we don't actually need to go and download those MUI packs and stage them in our installation media. Because we're downloading perhaps from the content delivery network, we just specify that extra language switch in our XML file and it pulls it all down for us.
Yes, and also when we're servicing Office and updating it, those MUI packs as well, they get updated also at the same time.
Right.
Those DAT files come down when you download the new version of Office, and you've always got the latest set of language files.
What kind of languages can we install?
So, of course, we can do everything from English or Chinese.
Oh, yeah.
And the way I like to think about that actually is Ruguo, Nimanyao, Niga, Yuyen, MuiPak, Niga, Office of 365 Pro Plus, Koeira.
Huh?
You didn't understand that, Yoni? No, really. So if you've got all of the different languages that you need to install, we've got tools to do that. And if you're using things like System Center, what you can do is actually enumerate the language in the Windows shell right through its app model or through its package installation model and determine whether or not you want to install, say, German or Spanish or whatever based on the Windows shell language. That gets very, very easy to manage.
Right. So how would that look? We'd create one XML file or a separate one for each language that we wanted to do and then call them separately in the programs inside SCCM?
Right.
Is that what you're thinking?
So the nice thing is there, again, I would download all my languages I need for my organization with the Office deployment tool. It would basically suck down if I want Japanese and Spanish and German and all those things. Then I set up basically an XML that runs against the same set of language agnostic files with those DAT files that determine language.
Yep.
Against my rules that I'm setting up in Config Manager or other software distribution mechanisms that call against languages, it would then specify the exact language required for that system.
Gotcha.
So group policy, another thing that we can do. Let me show you a demo of group policy controls in the new Office, things that are changed a bit. So I'm going to go into the group policy editor, and basically I'm going to show some of the new settings that we have. So in the miscellaneous folder, we have something like blocking the signing into Office. Now that applies to both the MSI and Click to Run. So we can block, for example, signing into a SkyDrive account. Now one other thing that we'll see is disabling that first run movie. Something that IT pros might appreciate, maybe not something that users will want to see because they'll want a little bit of that training there. There's just a couple of things, and we've got a lot more settings that are new. And we're going to talk about in today's blog, really, all the settings you would need to do a fully silent install and disable all the prompts for end users. So now I wanted to transition to Yoni because we've got a couple of questions that come in all the time about where we can install Office from. Now, with Office 365 Pro Plus, the great thing is we have this content delivery network that deployment tools can call to actually grab the source files for Office. So for users that aren't connected to their LAN or, you know, are VPN connected with a really slow connection, it will really help get new Office delivered to them and all the updates.
That's right, Jeremy. We really do have a lot of flexibility here. Let me explain. We have our content delivery network that lives out on the internet. And if we're comfortable with that, we can have our end users install straight from there, and that's no problem at all. We don't, however, have any control over what versions they get and what SKUs end up being installed. So if we need that control, we have another option. We can download from the CDN to either an SMB location or an HTTP location as well. So say we were just doing an internal deployment, we could use an SMB path, and that could either be a DFS share, it could just be a file server, or it could also be a distribution point for SCCM or whatever software distribution mechanism you were using. Now, if we had a mix, say, of internal and external clients that we needed to provide bits and updates to, we might want to use an HTTP source. What that allows us to do is have that sitting inside our perimeter network, and then clients inside the network could get the bits from there, and clients outside the network can download them as well. However, this time, unlike the CDN, these guys are going to have only the bits on them that you want because you staged them there in your HTTP location. So, to talk about this more, Jeremy met with Group Program Manager Paul Barr.
So tell us about the genesis of the Office deployment tool and what that was built for.
Well, administrators are used to having a pretty extensive group of customization and manageability functions with the Office customization tool in the MSI world. And when we brought on Click to Run, we wanted to preserve that core set of functionality for them. So the Office deployment tool is all about giving administrators the ability to do automation of the Click to Run deployment with their own tool set, control over the architecture, what products are installed, what languages, how the users get their source and updates from our cloud or your private cloud, maintaining that core set of control that administrators need while driving a Click to Run modern agile installation.
It's a great point that you mentioned earlier about using our cloud or using a private cloud. Now, what would be some of the scenarios where we might use the Office deployment tool to call into the Microsoft cloud?
Well, one of the themes that we're seeing in enterprise is there's more mobile users. There's more users that are out on the road. And controlling those users' software is actually getting more and more difficult. Frequently, they're never coming in or connecting to the intranet, or when they do, it's through an unreliable VPN connection. And the ability to configure the Office software to look to the Microsoft cloud to get your initial product update, to get patched to the latest version and to be secure. That service is network resilient, it scales to millions of users, it's got tremendous reach, much wider reach than what you would see with your average corporate network. So being able to switch between those two sources and get that resiliency and that reliability from the content distribution network managed by Microsoft is really important.
Right, now what happens if I lose connectivity after I've started streaming it from the Microsoft cloud?
Well, the click-to-run infrastructure that drives these installations is actually very resilient. So all of that happens asynchronously in the background. The user actually isn't even aware that the updates are happening. When they get connectivity again, it just picks up seamlessly where it left off.
So we've covered a lot of material today. We actually talked about all the different workarounds we might use in order to get things blocked, for example,
some
like
of them
access.
Were a bit better than others.
Exactly. We talked about group policy, language management, and this
right.
exciting new deployment option where I can actually use the cloud as a distribution point mm-hmm. to have Office delivered if I want to and still have complete control over what version, architecture, all that stuff.
Right.
So a lot of stuff there. Now, what I want to do before we end the show is go back to today's trivia question.
How do I change languages when installing with Click to Run?
And the answer, of course, was A. If you want to control the languages, you have to create an XML file for them and control it that way.
Right, so the answer was A. Please join us on our blog. We've got every week we're doing a blog on Microsoft.com/garage. And next week we're going to talk about deployment integration with the tools. We're going to get into the meat of actually getting the stuff to work with SCCM and MDT and all those other tools.
That's all we've got time for. We'll see you next time.
Thank you.